In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here. We feel a great sense of joy in this room. Yes. What does joy feel like to you? Is joy important?
Yes.
Has it always been important, or are you thinking about it more now? It's sort of an amazing thing that so many tend to go through their lives without really caring about the joy aspect of physical reality. But in essence, that was your primary intention, was to live life and expand in joy. Certainly you came here for the experience and the expansion and the self-discovery and the awareness of who you are as a physical being, as a non-physical being, as what this all means, but you didn't intend to struggle through it. You intended to do it in joy. But what really is joy? Is joy this giddy, exciting, exhilarating feeling all the time? Or is it more subtle? Is it your natural state of being? Is the state you were when you were born and the state you were most of your childhood? And in that childhood, you were full of energy and laughing and playing and having fun and being carefree and not making plans and just going with the flow. And once in a while you get grouchy or someone would try and tell you what to do. But otherwise you lived in joy until things got serious, until you had to do things, until you had to protect yourself. And now you're learning you don't have to protect yourself, that you're all taken care of. You're supported by a loving universe that's designed to bring you everything you need when you need it and everything you want when you want it. And if you will just relax, you will see how it comes. But if you try and make it happen in struggle and effort, well, then you're leaving aside joy. And so what's the point of that? What's the benefit of living a life when there's little joy? What's the benefit of gaining anything or accomplishing anything or making anything happen if there's no joy? So today we want to talk about what you want out of life. Why you're here in this room, why you've traveled all this way to come here. There are things that you want. There's ways to get those things. And we want to talk about that today. So, without any further ado, who wants to get started?
Don't put it like this. Hello, Joshua.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm probably going to cry. I have a tissue ready. And thankfully, Nikki pushed me to come up here first. I've been struggling with what to say, and I don't know how to ask it. So I'm just going to talk, and I don't know what's going to come out because I'm not sure how to ask my question, I guess. So maybe you can help pull it out of me. I'm struggling with a life decision in my marriage, and I don't know if it's the right place for me to be and to stay or not. And I don't know this because I've gone through a lot of not having joy. And you talk about joy, and I've gotten a lot of that back, but there's been so many years of suffering and struggle and not being happy and resistance and all of these things that I've tried working through and I'm still working through, but I see that my partner is not in the same place as me. I feel like we go like this, and I love him dearly and I love my children dearly. But I'm in recovery from drugs and alcohol and I have a different life and he is not in that same place. He's drinking daily and he's all of these issues I feel like are coming under this big umbrella. It's like all this rain's coming down and it's under this umbrella and it can't absorb and let things grow. You know, like the rain comes and the grass grows and the flowers grow and it can't happen because it's shielded.
Let's talk about what you want. So imagine the perfect scenario. What do you want? Do you think about what you want?
I do.
What do you want?
I want to be with my family every day, and I want to be with my children and enjoy their life with them every day. That's important to me. I want to experience joy with a partner where we have complete trust and safety, if you will, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It's this sort of good yin and yang and balance. I want all of that, and I just want to have joy and be fun and laugh. And
why don't you have that now?
Well, I do have it on the one hand.
On which hand?
On my right hand. Okay. I do have it, but I don't
what
feel like...
What is in your right hand?
In my right hand, I have my children.
So the children bring you joy.
My children bring me joy.
Why do the children bring you joy?
Because I love to see them exploring life.
Because as you watch them exploring life, you are looking at reality as it really is.
Yes.
I love it. You are comfortable. You are at ease. You are feeling safe. You are seeing their growth and progress. And you believe that reality is working well in that area. And so what you're doing here is you're agreeing with how your inner self sees your children. And that the children don't bring you joy. It's that way of looking at them, of allowing them to be, of being happy, of using them as your excuse to align with your inner self. That's what brings you joy. Joy is the alignment of inner self. Joy is seeing things from the higher perspective. So, what's in the left hand?
Everything else, no. in the left hand would be my lack that I'm feeling.
Lack. So, what does that tell you?
Fear of loss.
Fear. What does that tell you? It tells you you're looking at reality in a way that is not true. It's an illusion. Mm-hmm. And your inner self is saying, we're going to send you a message in the form of negative emotion. And we hope you pay attention to that. Because the way you're looking at this, even though you're deep into it and you've been doing it for a long time, it's not going to lead you to what you want. Because until you look at this the same way as you look at that, until you allow this the same as you allow that, you aren't going to be guided to the next thing.
Right.
You see that, like, looking at your children in a way that makes you feel good, mm-hmm. can be done this way too. It's a choice. Now, we see that you don't believe that.
No, actually I do. And I feel like I've gotten through a lot of that because of the teachings.
Right.
And I've been able to shift my perspective in that way. But I feel like I get to a certain place with it.
Right.
And then I feel kind of like I can't go anywhere else because I want to have a deeper connection.
So that's what you want, is you want a deep connection.
Yeah.
Right? And this is what you have, which is not a deep connection. Right? And you say that I would have a deep connection if he was different than he is. But that's not what you want. You don't want him to be different than he is.
Right.
What you want is this deep connection. Now, that deep connection can come from somewhere else. It could come from him. It could come from somewhere else. But what you have to do first is get to this feeling of joy with things as they are. Because that's the only way you're going to get inspiration strong enough to take some kind of action that will lead you to the full and complete life that you want. Right? But right now, this resistance keeps you in a state of fear. And in that state of fear, you receive urges to change the conditions rather than inspiration to go to something else or change something whether that's your perspective or your address. You see what we're saying? So you can change your perspective if you're inspired to, or you can change your address if you're inspired to. But you don't have to make that up in your mind. You don't have to figure that out. All you have to do is get to this place of love, where you see the children in love, you see your house in love, you see your body in love, you see all the fun things that are going on in your life in love. You see everything as in love. Everything's perfect. Because it's the acceptance of what's perfect as it is, which allows you to relax, to be easy, to be curious, to be okay with how things are going. And then you get the spark of inspiration. But until then, you can't get it. Or you won't acknowledge it. Or you'll be too paralyzed in fear to move forward. Once you get into this easy place of acceptance, then things will start to shift inside. And you'll have a different relationship to fear, so that when you have that inspiration, you'll have a little fear come up, but you'll say, well, that fear is irrational. This is an exciting idea. Let's just check that out. Mm-hmm. So if you live mired in fear and worry and doubt and that things are wrong and this is a problem because of this and this, and until this changes, then I can't live the life I want, and so I'm going to wait till Christmas to have a happy day, that sort of thing. Right? Wait till retirement, wait till kids are grown, wait till whatever. No, you can have it all now. Mm-hmm. But you can only get what you want through acceptance. Because everything else will be you trying to fill in the grid. You trying to make things happen on your own. You trying to say, I'm sick of this and I want him to change, so I'm going to be angry and angry and angry until he changes. Which never ever works, because your anger makes him feel fear. And in him feeling fear, he tries to change conditions. And one of the conditions he tries to change is how he feels. And there's certain ways that he'll try and change how he feels. Because he's in fear.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And then that's how I lived for a long time.
Yeah.
And resistance and anger.
Right.
And then I stopped. I mean, I can't say it's 100%. I think there's like a residual, you know, resentment or fear on my part to be vulnerable in a certain way.
Right.
But honestly, it's so much more freeing. And I had talked about it yesterday, to think in a different way. And last night I was talking and kind of uncovered a limiting belief around me leaving. And it's a fear of loss, not for me, but for him.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. Because you love him.
Because I love him and I don't want him to be hurt.
Right. Yeah. So get to this place of love, and in that place of love, you'll be inspired to say what you truly mean, which is, I love you, but maybe this isn't working, right? Instead of, I hate you and I'm leaving.
And I have said that.
Yeah.
On three different times, I've said, I love you, I think we should, you know, and it was really, like, I was completely in alignment,
mm-hmm.
It was divine, and he said, okay, and walked away,
mm-hmm.
and, like, sweeps it under the rug.
Yeah, And it'll move forward. You do the divine inspiration. You say what you're inspired to say. You move through the fear. And you accept. You accept what this is now. You accept what this is now. You accept. It's a process. It doesn't all have to change and be slingshot into a new reality.
Right, yeah.
It can slowly evolve and get better and better and better and better. Clearer and clearer and clearer. Everyone's adjusting their vibration to what they're matched to, right? So here's all that you want. You want the children to be happy. You want him to be happy. You want to feel safe and secure. You want to transition easily in love and joy. You don't want to be a fight. You want to be in joy. So that's what you're moving towards now. See? This is what's in your vibration. This is what you want. And when you see him not doing what you think he should be doing, you feel fear, and you take a step back. But in you becoming aligned, you get more inspiration, and you move a step forward. And then you might get comfortable with this new level where you're at. And then you might get into alignment again. And then you might say or do something that's inspired. And then you move a step forward. You see? So it's a gradual process. You don't want to rip the Band-Aid off.
No.
You want to ease into it so that everyone can have time to adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the whole ball of wax here is in the seeing everything right as it is. Everything is right as it is. Everything is right as it is. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of your exploration, the kid's exploration, and his. And everyone else involved. So what you can do is say, this is a step in the right direction. This is working out. This is coming along. Everything's moving properly. I feel fear in the timing of it, but that's just me thinking how things should be rather than how they are. So you just allow, allow, allow. It all comes back to allowing. And allowing is accepting things as they are, trusting that things are working out, trusting that you don't have to do anything other than figure out how to make yourself feel better in the moment. Do what makes you feel better at the moment. Don't focus on what makes you feel fear. Trust that everything's going to work out, that you can't see how it's going to work out. But how it's going to work out, if you allow it, will be more amazing than you could ever imagine, than you could ever figure out. The manifestation eventually will be so elegant that you'll say, I never thought it could be like this. Because really what life is moving through confusion towards clarity. And for those masters in here, you come in with a lot of confusion, and if you allow, you leave with a lot of clarity. And the difference between that feeling and this feeling is so immense that you, once you grasp that, you will understand what life is all about. And then you will realize that it's all about joy. So we see a lot of this one.
No, it didn't actually. But I understand all of it.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
It resonates on a very cellular, deep level for me, in fact. And and I'm very grateful for
excellent.
That. And I think I already knew that answer because I think of it and that's the answer that comes to me.
Yes.
And
right.
I think it's interesting that when I know these things inherently, I still have question.
Because it's not you alone. It's you receiving guidance. And a lot of times the guidance is an emotion, but a lot of times the guidance is actual clear thought. And you think, well, that's just me thinking it. No, it's not just you thinking it. You're receiving guidance in the form of thought. Sounds like your thoughts, feels like your thoughts, but it's communication. And you all have access to that. You all have the ability to bring that in, all of you. And some of you know it, and some of you doubt it, but you all have it. And those of you who know it, it's easy. And those of you who had doubted, just don't doubt it anymore. Yeah.
Check.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we missed the tears.
I didn't.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
Greetings, Joshua. Welcome to Thunderdome.
Is this going to be a conversation about joy?
Somewhat. Sure.
Good.
I've had an amazing week. It's been very insightful. I've learned a lot. But I've also bumped up against some stuff.
Excellent.
Some stuff I didn't resonate with me, I guess, for you and using the vocabulary here.
So some things you thought were wrong.
To my core.
Right.
And I guess maybe it's not that... Let me start over. Let me get to the place.
Sure.
So the analogy that I've been thinking about is a person who experiences a trauma, a person that is being tortured, as a device against the person causing the trauma or the person causing the torture, they grow to appreciate the torture. Appreciate the trauma, thus protecting themselves against further trauma. And, you know, for somebody like me, in my community where I have faced trauma and in abuses on a fairly consistent level or time, it's taken me a long time to decide that I don't need it anymore.
Right.
I don't need trauma to feel alive, to feel like I'm fitting in. Because, I mean, I struggle with a personal identity every day and how the world sees me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've gotten to a place, some with help from you in of saying it doesn't matter, I don't care. And that's where I'm at. I understand that I am a powerful person. I've got a strong energy inside of me. And, you know, this week I've learned that, you know, I brought it in that this was my intention, that I wanted to take your thoughts, your message, and bring it to the people that I think can benefit from such message. However, I struggle with the language of the message, in the sense that there's zero softening of the message to people who don't know the message, who haven't heard the message,
yes.
And when it's heard, you know, there's got to be a better way, a different way to.
There is a better way.
You know,
there is a better way. There is a lot of general information out there.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of soft information, but we are on the leading edge of thought here.
Agreed.
And this is not for everyone. There are 7 billion people out there who are not in this room. So just imagine the tip of the tip of the tip of the leading edge. And that's where we are. And why are we here? Because we are here because the general message was too general for us. And we wanted to take it to the next level. But that next level brings up fear. Because how could there be no wrong? It's so obvious that there's wrong. There's wrong everywhere. Right? How could there be no wrong? And we say, from a different perspective, from a perspective so high, from a perspective that you'll have to suspend your belief, there is no wrong. From a perspective of eons of time, was it wrong when the meteor hit and killed life on this planet in a magnitude that had never been seen before? Well, if it wasn't for that, you'd not be here now. This building would not be here. So if you take the perspective of billions of years, it's a little bit softer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I it doesn't even have to go back billions of years.
You could go back thousands of years.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, my mom died when I was 14 years old, and it stunk. It sucked. It was hard, and it took me 15 years to realize that she had to die. I've actually said this. She had to die.
Right.
She had to die, so I gained the strength to be who I am today. And
15
I understand
years.
That.
15
right.
years.
Right.
So we shrank it down from a billion years to 15 years.
I wanted to get it there.
Could we have shrunken that down to 15 months? And had we been able to shrink that down to 15 months, 15 months of sorrow and anguish and suffering, but then 13 and a half years of moving on, of growth.
Sure. I mean, we could shrink it down to 15 hours. Because yesterday, I mean, this is when I had my moment where I
your meltdown. We like the term meltdown.
Where I didn't melt, but I butted up against. Yeah. My thought is that how do you say that to, or how does one say?
You say it to yourself. You're the only one in the room. Mm-hmm. You're the only one in this universe. It's you're saying it to yourself. All of this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for you.
Agreed.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to help them. You help you. And in your example of being easy at funerals, being easy with someone's trauma, yourself.
I guess you
are an example of that.
There's just so much awfulness in our world,
mm-hmm.
and I can't look at somebody who's afraid mm-hmm. to get pulled over by a policeman
mm-hmm.
and is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at them and say, well, that trauma is for you.
You can't look at them and say that.
No.
You can only look at them and whisper it to you. But that trauma is for them. I don't see how. I don't see how they're contributing to future generations. I don't see how they're sacrificing themselves, their lives, so that there can be a conversation about this. I don't see how millions of people have AIDS and have died of AIDS so that they can sacrifice themselves so that the rest of humanity can feel compassion for them. And that changes everything.
I understand that. I do. I get that.
Right.
I just...
So, from a higher perspective, imagine this. Imagine that life is a blink of an eye. That you exist for eternity in non-physical. Mm-hmm. And then you say, we're going to buy a ticket and come to Disneyland. And we're going to experience the rides. And when you first go to Disneyland, when you're a little kid, you're not riding the Matterhorn. You're not riding the scary rides. You're riding the teacups and the small world, right? But soon you get bored of that as you grow older, as you have experience. Mm-hmm. And so now you start riding the scary rides. But you don't want to say that nobody can ride the scary rides and everyone has to ride the teacups in the small world, right? You want to say, you bought your ticket, explore whatever you want to explore. And then some of you will come in here and say, we're going to get together, we're going to experience something in order to help grow the vibration of this planet. And the consciousness, the mass consciousness of this community, of this building to the just down here. Do you understand mm-hmm. what I'm talking about? Of nightclubs in Florida. We're gonna volunteer to be in these situations that seem horrible. Because in those situations, you can't imagine the love that comes out of that. You can't see it, really, but maybe you can perceive it. So in things that are horrible, there's always love in those things. And from the limited perspective of the family member who lost someone or the person going through some struggle they don't understand, in that limited perspective, it seems like complete misery and suffering and struggle, but maybe... maybe never in that life we'll get over that. But in the non-physical, when all of non-physical, all that is, looks back on that life, it is an awareness that is generated throughout mass consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so you can't see it. You just have to trust us that there's more going on here than you can imagine. But nothing matters except for how you feel inside. So all this talk, all these words that are written are all to help you change your perspective for one reason only, so that you'll feel better. For one reason only, so you feel better. And as you feel better, guess what happens? You get communication from within. It comes through. And you get to decide for yourself what you personally want. And in that deciding of what you personally want, well, you can take another perspective on that and say, I've come through this for a reason. I've lived my life, and everything's happened, so I can be in this chair right now having this conversation that has never occurred before, and that will be listened to by countless people who this question will help more than you can imagine. So everything that you've done your entire life has brought you to this point so that you could ask this question, so that not just these people in this room, but people all over the world for years and years and years to come, can be lifted by this question. And wouldn't that be worth it?
That's all I want. I don't want the things that I've had to do to be for not. I want it
you
to
did
be
it for them.
I want it to be for a reason, for a purpose, for not for people to cry for me.
Right.
Because I'm nobody's victim.
Right. You're not a victim.
I'm not a victim.
You're not a victim.
I was for a while, but I'm not a victim.
And isn't that exhilarating to go from thinking you were a victim to knowing you're a creator?
It is, but the problem is that I hurt inside because I want to help. Mm-hmm. I want to do what I can do to mm-hmm. help. And you know, that's why I felt it was important. You know, I didn't know why I wanted to come up here and say these mm-hmm. things. I didn't know.
Do you know now?
I do, because, I mean, that makes sense that, you know, everything that led to here, to this very moment, because I get it. I understand it.
And from this point on, you can say, I appreciate all that. Mm-hmm. I understand what it was for. It led me here. But now I can choose what I want to do. And if you want to help, help. Mm-hmm. But you help through feeling better yourself first. And seeing them as not victims. You're not a victim. They're not victims. That's hard to understand.
It is. It is hard, but I understand that. Right. I get what you're saying. No. If
they may be acting like victims, but they're not victims. They are the creators of their reality.
How do you...
This, yeah.
Is there anything I can do?
You can look at them as if they are perfect, as if there's nothing wrong. And in that, you'll stay aligned. But looking at them as if there is something wrong, as if they need help.
I'm almost victimizing them myself.
But you're thinking of them in a way that's not helpful. You look at them based in love or based in fear. Based in love, you get inspiration to actually say and do things that help. Based in fear, you get urges to change conditions that you don't think personally are right. Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
I've waited a long moment for this. Well, this is kind of light, but I need to know. When my mom was dying, being the devoted Sicilian mother, she vowed, set her intentions to contact us and be with us and make us aware. However there would be, she would find a way. We believed her. I still do. Anyway, as my sisters had children, they were all lovely, blah, blah, blah. Well, now I have a great niece, and something's different about her.
What was your mother's name?
Leah.
Leah? Leah?
Leah.
How do you spell Leah?
L-E-A-H.
What was her maiden name?
La Spina.
Okay.
Anyway, my sister, Linda, has a daughter named Gina Rose. Get it? Rose? Okay. Anyway, a year after my mom passed, Gina was attached to her physically for 3 years of her life. A year later, out of the blue, this little girl, 4-year-old, said, when I grow up, I'm going to have a daughter, and I'm naming her after Grandma. Never mentioned again. We didn't ever paid attention. 23 years later, here's Leah, little Leah, who's 3 years old, Leah Rose, again. This child has done some inexplicable things that have us happily scared. Happily scared. Maybe it's my limiting belief, but I really want her to be the reincarnation of my mother because of two things that more or less brought us over to really be afraid, happily afraid. At a year and a half, my sister and I took her around the house, showed her all these pictures of the family people, showing and saying who's who, blah, blah, blah. And the year and a half baby in my sister's arms. And when we got to the picture of my mother, Leah, we said, this is our mommy, your great-grandmother. And only then, this child leaped practically out of my sister's arm to grab the frame, hold it to her, and she wouldn't let go. That's all she kept doing. My sister and I looked at each other like, oh, God, why this? You know, is this a message from my mom? I don't know. 2 months ago, we're in the car. The baby's in the back. We're just driving, not talking. And she says to me, my little Leah, Aunt Rosie, you were in my belly. I said, I was. She says, yes. My sister looks at me, and we kind of, well. And she says, you were number one. And I am the first of 6 girls. So Grandma says, what about me, Leah? She goes, oh, you were in my belly too. You were 4. And my sister Linda is number 4. So all these crazy things, this little child. So not only do I love her to death, but I thought I was going to ask you, is she my mother? Because I would love her to be mother. But I've come to realize this connection we have, it's not just I love her to death. I want to know if there's a reason, a purpose, a connection, because this child, I believe, is super gifted. Not like the other children. Something about her, I just have this picture of her being so connected to the universe. And I want to know, what am I supposed to do other than what I do now, which is complete joy and love and teaching and, you know.
So imagine that you are somehow find yourself in this room with us. And that you can understand that there's a physical and non-physical, that there is a reason for being here, that there's a purpose in life, expansion, that you're eternally connected to everyone you know, that you cannot lose.
Mm.
Right. And that while it might be fun to come in and be with those that you know, you don't necessarily have to live the same life, nor can you live the same life. In fact, every life is unique. But imagine that you bring forth that which you experienced before through that which is available now and happen to be that which has a grandmother who understands more about the universe than anyone else on the planet, almost. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So choosing to be here and now with you makes sense in a different approach to life. So your grandmother probably had one approach to life, and now your mother had one approach to life, and now your granddaughter will try that differently, right? So maybe she's here to be an allower rather than a controller, to be easygoing rather than wanting everything to be a certain way. What was your mother like?
Oh, life at the party.
Life at the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved immensely. And this child is unusually loving. I mean, it's almost scary loving. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we are kind of scared of her a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll say that while she is in essence, has the essence of those lives that went before, she is here to experience something completely new in a new way. And there's a reason she's here now, and there's a reason that you're here now too. And so we would say, be more open about allowing her to experience this new approach to life, where she need not be in control, where she can maintain this state of joy and see that things are right and things are always working out, and that she can be completely and authentically who she is in faith that she is taken care of, not just by her parents and family, but by a loving, supportive universe. So that as she grows up, you can be inspired to influence the entire family in ways that will allow her to live a more natural life, a life without the constraints and worries and fears of a society that wants to control as much as possible. Right? So this is an obvious sign. This is the sign that you were looking for. But why? Why did you want the sign? Why did you make that agreement that you would be given a sign about your mother? Why? That was all set up ahead of time. So that you could understand that that child can be brought into reality in a way that is unlike other children. And you may not have a lot of control over it because her parents are going to do what they're going to do. All you have is the ability to act on inspiration and influence things when the time's right. In love, in allowing everyone to be as they are, everyone to make decisions as I'll make them, but just to be easy about it. And maybe you're inspired to give a book or send an article or send a gift, things like that. And then watch in joy as she moves through life, being freer and easier and open to possibilities, and watch that blossom. And you'll watch it from the physical, and you'll watch it from the non-physical, and you'll watch her children and her children and her children, and you'll be interested in all this all the way through. And then one day you might decide, I'm going to jump back in down the line myself. Yeah. And will you want to be this version of you in the next life, you'll want to experience something different.
New.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that experience adds to the experience of all that is. Yeah. But all the children are like that. This one's just obvious connection to you.
Yeah. I just feel like she has spiritual gifts. I just see it. I see it in her.
Well, you all do. But some of you choose not to let those come through, and some do. But you all have that. You're never meant to be alone. You're always guided in every moment. You're guided through your emotions. You're guided through intuition. You're guided through through manifestation events. You're guided through direct communication, and you're guided through inspiration. So be open to all that.
That's pure joy with this child. Pure joy.
Excellent. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Morning.
Good morning.
So the topic's joy, and my question has been for 3 days, well, for many, many years, why am I always crying?
Are you crying in joy?
Yes, because we were there doing the joy meditation, and I can't remember the last time I meditated and didn't have a tear or a welling up, and I'm getting kind of pissed about it.
Why would you be pissed about joy? Are you saying that the way that you're experiencing joy should be different than it is?
I think I'm asking for permission to be really weird and always crying.
Yes. Is that weird? Not crying is weird, right? Crying is simply the release of the joy through the body, right? Or the relief. The highest joy is relief. Have you ever been in a near-death situation and everything turned out fine? And you were like, the feeling of that relief, the feeling of the relief at the end of the roller coaster ride, that's joy. Mm-hmm. That's the highest expression of joy. And relief is experienced as a release of tears or crying. The relief of that. And so that is the natural way to do it for many people. But everyone's different. And all of you here are sensitive and emotional, which is, you can't really be on this leading edge of thought without being highly sensitive and highly emotional. Because in those intense feelings of emotion, you are intensely guided. And in those dull senses of emotion that you know some people have, where they don't really feel anything, well, their guidance system is not as strong as yours. And so they're not likely to be guided to rooms like this and messages like this. So those of you who are listening to this, who are in this room, know that you're quite a bit more sensitive than the average bear. And part and parcel of that is this feeling and welling up of emotion. And the release of emotion, however it comes through, is perfectly acceptable.
Similar to, like, doing my morning quiet time, I'm reading Joshua, reading other information.
Other?
Yes. 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 Yeah. And getting really tired and wanting to not... ready to start my day with the activities, but really wanting to go back to bed or take a nap. Same kind of thing? I mean, is it just a release?
It's just who you are.
It's who I am. Yeah. Well, I'm a napper.
You're a napper.
Crier.
You're a napper and a crier. You chose to be a napper and a crier. There's in that napping and crying is your superpower. In that acceptance of who you are and what you chose to do to come into this body that you chose to have, in that tendency for big emotion and for quest for new information. It can only come through this whole system that you have, the interest that you gravitate towards, mm-hmm. the size and shape of your body, your sex, the day and date of your birth. All of that is put together so that you can experience life in a completely unique way. So every part and parcel of you is perfect for the exploration that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so when you say, well, I like this about me and this about me and this about me, but I don't like this and this and this, well, you're just saying that I made a good choice over here and this choice, these choices I made were wrong. But if you can embrace all of it and understand that it all fits together perfectly like a key that can only unlock one lock in the world, and that key is every part of you and every nuance of you and every aspect of whatever interests you goes to unlock the authentic version of you. And once that's unlocked, that's when your superpowers and abilities emerge. That's when you find your passion. That's when you relax and realize your joy.
So I found my whole life I've been a napper, and I got two entire departments at a job I had to share my mattress and take naps. And our whole department, everything raised without lecture or anything.
So when you're sleeping, you're not resting the body. When you're napping, you're not resting the body. You didn't do any physical exertion, right? What you're doing is you're recharging through the non-physical. So you're processing whatever happened prior to that sleep period. And if the sleep period is long, say 18 hours, right? Well, then there's a lot to process. And by the end of that 18 hours, there's a lot to process. So for most humans, the shorter duration of awake between sleep is better. Mm-hmm. But in your society, it's just not done. So you will see, if you have the inspiration to sleep in the daytime or to create an environment where you have consistent and easy sleep at night, you will just function better because you will just have more alignment is all it is. You will just be more connected. It will be easier. You'll be more at ease. And stress really comes, you can see it in your society, when those who work overnight, who get interrupted sleep patterns, who have stress and the stress interrupts the sleep, it builds a cycle, and then, you know, the body sort of has to adjust and deal with that. Those who sleep are awake for a little bit, sleep, awake for a little bit, sleep, awake for a little bit, consistent, consistent, consistent. Meditation is the same. Meditation, stopping thought, relaxing, easing, not having to get anything done. Really.
Yeah.
The lifestyle of a child is a perfect example.
Right.
Play, 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 sleep. Play, 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 sleep. Nothing to get done, nothing to do, nothing to get done. Play, 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 sleep. That's a natural thing. So if you can emulate that, play, 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 play,
okay.
Sleep.
I get that, and I know when I wake up from my naps, I'm always saying, oh, I feel so much more in alignment. It just, those words just come to me. So one more aspect question, same, similar thing. I've been feeling this huge urge for solitude, moving away, going, leaving, not the world, leaving
be clear.
Responsibilities, home, and go and be by myself so I can spend more time feeling.
So there's two ways to look at that, right? There's, that's calling me, or I want to escape what I have.
Right, and I don't want to think I'm escaping.
Right, and so the thing that calls you, that inspiration to go forth to something new, calls you. And in that inspiration, you will feel fear. And in this escaping, getting away from what I do not like, that is fear. So in the inspiration of moving you forward to something that you prefer, there's going to be fear. What will I lose? What will other people think?
Right.
You know, what will I miss? What will happen to me? Right? But in that calling, you You just take it the next step. What's the first step you can take? And don't worry about it. Just take that step. Push past whatever the fear and take the step. Maybe you research this place you go. Maybe you say, I go for a week, or I go for 2 weeks and come back. If that's a calling and you allow yourself to receive interest, then you can move towards that in less fear. Because it's easier to push through the fear if it's just one step. But if you're saying, I'm going to completely redo my life and do this over here, well, there'll be too much fear to do anything.
Right.
And you'll be in fear, and you will try and make things happen, and you'll try to say, that's just it, I'm leaving, right? And that's not going to, that's like being pushed into the deep end of the pool, learning to swim.
Yeah.
You want to gently ease into the pool, one step at a time. Get acclimated to the temperature of the water, as it is.
That's the way I get into every swimming pool.
Yeah, there's no reason to deny that which is calling you. In a place of alignment, you will be called to move to different things, whatever they may be. And you will have an attachment to this life you're leaving behind, or to other people's feelings, or to money, or to security, or to safety, or whatever that is. So, in moving towards that which you're being called to, you'll have to process fear. And that which is calling you will lead you to where you want to go and what you want in life. And that which is you're attached to is just, the fear is just limiting you. So you can live a limitless life or a limited life, and neither one is wrong or right. It's your choice. But in a place of alignment, that which you're being called to will give you greater and greater and greater and greater joy.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you. Left.
Thank you.
I'm so glad I came. And I'm so glad I pushed through the fear.
You pushed through the fear.
And had some manifestation events.
Sure.
To get here. And I'm so glad I met everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
I have new friends. And I'm much more comfortable speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
Even in front of a group.
Yes.
And in front of you. And yesterday, Gary said, are you going to ask a question? I don't know. I've run out of questions. But
how many questions have you asked on the one-on-one?
152.
152?
Yeah.
Not a record.
Not a record. But only now I'm seeing how much I've changed from the first question until now. Mm-hmm. I wanted to move
away. So what has changed?
I wanted to move away from my job,
uh-huh,
from the translation,
mm-hmm,
and you pushed me to my job and to the translation.
So what has changed? Have you changed physically?
I have, not physically. I'm almost enjoying my work.
Mm-hmm. Almost is good.
I'm getting there. Enjoying the translations, and I have that mantra, mm-hmm, it's for you,
mm-hmm,
and be curious. Mm-hmm. What is bringing you?
And so all that's changed is your perspective.
Yes.
That's all.
The job is the same.
Everything's the same, but it feels better.
I didn't believe it at the first.
You don't believe that when you change your perspective, you change your feelings, you change your whole life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now...
So now what?
Now what?
So now what is what you've just done to get here? You had the inspiration, you bumped up against the fear and the limiting beliefs, and you said that the limiting beliefs are false, that I can travel by myself, that I can be with these people, that my English is good enough. Limiting belief, I can't spend the money, I can't travel all that way, I can't take that time, I can't do this, I can't do this, and I won't be able to speak English well enough, and they'll all make fun of me. Right? And then what happens is, that's the limiting belief that was never true.
No.
And you realize it's never true. And so you push past one fear after another fear, and you get here, and you discover it was never true. And in that discovery of it never being true, the actual opposite is true. People are amazed at how well you can speak English. That's your second language? That's unbelievable. Very few people can speak two languages as well. Happens to be a few people here, but in general, it's amazing, right? And so now you're seeing yourself as more amazing than you saw yourself 6 months ago. More magnificent than you thought you were 6 months ago. And the truth is that you're all slightly more magnificent than you think you are. Quite a bit more, right? And nothing ever happens. All this conversation does for you is allows you to see yourself from a slightly higher perspective. Allows you to know that you're slightly more magnificent than you thought you were before you came. Right? So if you were to take a course to get better at translating, all that course is doing is letting you know that you're slightly more magnificent than you were before the course. Now, you didn't really need the course. All you need to do is see yourself as slightly more magnificent.
Yes, I see that now. Yeah.
And we're choosing words on purpose that Gary has a hard time pronouncing. Just to make it fun, right? But you're all limitless beings. And so all your limitations as limitless beings are applied to you by whom? Right. If you know that you're limitless, that you're literally limitless, and when we say limitless, we mean as the entity, the being that you created in these physical forms to do what you intended to do, you can't be stopped by anything other than your own self, doubt, and fear, right? So if you learn to accept who you are, all the mix and mishmash and good and bad and whatever you think that is, and allow and accept it as it is, perfect, well, then you start to see that the limitations fade away. Because the limitations are imposed by you thinking you're not perfect. But you were never not perfect. You were perfect the minute you were born. You were perfect a week later, a year later, 2 years later. You didn't get more perfect because you could speak English. You were perfect before you spoke English. You didn't get more perfect by coming here. You were perfect before you came here. You're just seeing yourself as a little bit more perfect than you were. And that's all that's ever happening. So the more you allow yourself to see who you really are, your authentic self, the self that you are in the non-physical, brought forth into the physical as a representation of that in order to experience a unique life, to do whatever you intended to do, right, the more powerful you are. Now, here's the thing, though. You get here, you sift and sort, you go through that life, you go through the struggle and the trauma and all the stuff that created this trajectory to bring you into this path of self-discovery, for the specific discovery that you wanted to make about reality or yourself. And so you purposely adopted these limiting beliefs about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're projecting them on your reality. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what you see as bad about other people is based on this limiting belief about yourself. Because without that limiting belief, you couldn't feel that specific fear. It'd be impossible. So that fear is a projection on the others, or vice versa. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So anything you don't like, anything you think is wrong, is your projection of your own fear onto something else. Without that limiting belief, you couldn't have that. It wouldn't be possible. Like, nobody believes this wall color is wrong and bad, and nobody is busy painting that wall. They all have an acceptance that it doesn't matter. They're going to be in this room for a short period of time. It doesn't matter what that color is, right? They're not bumping up against any limiting belief. But if we told you that this is your prison for the next 10 years, you would freak out, right? Yeah, because you would have a limiting belief that you should be out there instead of in here. Right? So it's all limiting belief. Now, what you think you want is partly based on what you truly want and partly based on what you think is wrong with you. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what you think you want has a lot of fear in it. And so what you think you want, what you think should be different about you, is based in fear. And so when you try and fix that stuff to feel better, it doesn't work. When you accept everything that you are, in every aspect of who you are, as right, and give up what you think you want, and just let it be without trying to manipulate anything, then you get what you truly want. And what you truly want is much more personally rewarding than anything you think you want. Yeah. So give up what you think you want, and just practice feeling good and accepting who you are. And if there's something that's wrong, realize it's because you're projecting that. Give it up, give it up, give it up. Give up your goals. Do you have goals? Throw those away. Okay, give all that stuff up. You don't have to achieve your goals to feel good. Feel good, and then what you truly want, which really is love and compassion and joy and patience and acceptance and all those things, will naturally flow. And if you've got all those things, abundance and freedom and adventure and excitement and joy and experiences and all that, every single day of your life, well, it doesn't matter if you have the car or the house or the mate. All that stuff doesn't matter. The job, nothing matters. The money doesn't matter. Get what you intended to get by allowing for the possibility that you're perfect. Who's perfect here? Wendy is. Who's not perfect? You're all perfect whether you know it or not. And you can have fun knowing you're not perfect. Right? And saying, if I was perfect, it wouldn't be as interesting. So you're perfect and you push through fear and you got the reward. So let that build confidence that you can do anything. You can volunteer to help cats. And you don't know what that's going to be like until you get there. And you're going to have fear about walking down and opening that door and talking to that person who's going to think you're crazy for wanting to help cats. You wanted to help cats, and you were afraid of the person thinking you're crazy for wanting to help cats. Yeah. And they are only looking for people. You couldn't go in there if they weren't looking, because you couldn't have that inspiration. They had to need you somehow. And so the manifestation events come up, letting you know that there's still a little bit of resistance involved. And you can push through it and get confidence. Yep. Yep. And then you can share this message of confidence with everyone else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I've got a question, a funny question I've been dying to ask you for a few days, and I've been thinking about for a few days, and the answer kind of the pieces are coming together, but I really want to get your clarity. It's about a really exhilarating and fun manifestation event I had last week. It's going to sound like a question about the lottery, but it's not about the lottery. It's a chicken and egg question about guidance and inspiration and focus. So what happened last week, I was in a very high emotional state. That was the week before I was coming here, so I was excited about the trip to Vegas. I was excited about, it was the last few days of my old job, so I was in a very good place. I was blissed out, enjoying life. And I noticed one day I was seeing numbers in emails, in clocks, etc., that were the numbers that I used to play a certain set of numbers in the lottery. And I stopped doing...
So those were numbers that you recognized?
Numbers that I recognized as being part of a series of numbers that I used to play in the lottery. And that I'd stopped doing that.
So familiar numbers to you?
Yeah.
So it's something that could capture your attention.
Yes.
If you saw it.
So I stopped doing that for a while now. And now I do still play the lottery because I just find it exciting and fun. But I just get random numbers from the machine. I'm completely detached from the outcome. I just see it as another avenue that abundance can go to. But I'm not really attached to an outcome. So anyway, I see these numbers and I just had this overwhelming feeling to play those numbers in the European lottery, which is...
And let's go to the end. You won, right?
That's a multimillionaire.
Okay.
You're all invited.
How did you keep it a secret from everyone?
So I didn't quite win. So I just had this knowing that I just had to play those numbers.
And so this, let us ask you here. Does anyone know why or no saw those numbers?
Because
that was in alignment.
And what did it mean to see those numbers?
He's connected.
That's connected? Or that that's my question.
Your guides and supporters of inner self are saying that we see you.
Right.
That we're with you. That this is the approach to life we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That you are, in this moment, in this brief period of time, fully aligned, which means fully choosing the perspective of your inner self, mm-hmm. which means fully embracing the higher perspective, which means that you see everything as it should be, everything as perfect, everything is right. Mm-hmm. You were confident and had fun that you were leaving this job, that you were going on an adventure in America, that you would be starting a new job, and then in this time period between leaving a job and spending the final days there and coming here, you were in the same mindset as your inner self.
Yeah.
You were seeing the reality that was true. When you see the true reality, you feel good. And then your inner guides were showing you, look over here. Look over here. Because what happens when you're in alignment? You receive inspiration. The inspiration is, there's 17. There's 111 on the clock. There's butterflies. We're talking about butterflies. That sort of thing. So your guidance is your attention. Your attention. In a natural world where you had no stress and you had nothing to accomplish and you had no doubts about who you were or what you were expecting, that you were fully aligned in every moment, you would be guided by your head to move. You'd be fully connected to your inner self and would be moved through a higher perspective because they can see more than you can. And you would just assume that wherever you were being led was perfect for you. Instead of being led and having doubts. Having a calling to this and having doubts. Right? So that's the benefit of being one. The benefit of being true reality is you're open to inspiration. And that was inspiration.
And so I had this feeling, I knew that I was going to win something. I wasn't expecting of winning a jackpot or whatever, but I had this knowing that it was the right thing to do and I was going to win something. And the next day, I get this notification email because I played online saying, news about my ticket, so that's a notification that I've won. So I check, and out of the five numbers that I used to play, four came out.
Wow.
And I didn't have any of the two lucky stars, so I won the equivalent of about $50, which, I mean, it wasn't about the money, but just the fact that that never happened to me. And because it related to such a strong feeling before, it felt like a validation. But my question was, did the manifestation of the four numbers happen because I was so focused and I had this knowing, this feeling that I was going to win, or was it because I was guided and I received this guidance and inspiration and I acted on it?
Guidance and inspiration and then acted on it.
Yeah, right.
So it's always guidance and inspiration. And in this case, you felt a strong inspiration to notice. First of all, you were available to notice the numbers because you were in alignment, right? If you were in fear, you could never see those numbers. In fear, you would be down a different road. That wouldn't line up. And if it was lined up, you wouldn't take the hint to look over here, right? So in alignment, you're guided for fun. And this is a validation that in alignment, your life is going to work out.
And I really felt exhilarated by it because I saw it as something I could reproduce in every area of my life.
What do you reproduce?
The state of alignment.
The state of alignment. State of alignment. And even in that state of alignment, and even in the strong inspiration to buy a ticket, there was still a little doubt and fear that you pushed through. See, doubt and fear is fine when it comes up. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that it's limiting. And if you're able to push through it and do what you're inspired to do, then you get the reward of that. And sometimes the reward is the manifestation of that.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
What? It's
very important. Sometimes the reward is a manifestation of it. Allows you, the reward is the discovery of a living belief that you can now process. Great analogy.
Miss Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. One day it's going to be fun when this room is filled with people and we can say, no, not you. You.
That's more fun.
This is more fun.
Okay, so do I have stronger, or I shouldn't say maybe stronger manifestation events because I have ginormous desires?
Yes. The stronger your desire, the stronger your inner self and your guide and source itself is going to let you know your living lives. Right? So you have a manifestation event, you have an intense desire, and so from your perspective, that manifestation event seems like this roadblock, this big obstacle. If you had a little desire, you wouldn't care. Right? It wouldn't be as intense. So the intensity of the manifestation event correlates with the intensity of the desire, which correlates with the intensity of the limiting belief. So if that limiting belief is strong and the desire is strong, it's a very strong pull, tension between them. And one of them is going to have to work itself out. Right? The desire is going to have to reduce its intensity where you don't care about it anymore. Or the limiting belief. So which do you want? Do you want to hold on to those limiting beliefs?
I feel like I know what my limiting beliefs are. I even know what they are, but I am resisting the shit out of it. I am digging.
You are. Are you attached to your limiting beliefs? Do you believe they mean anything about you?
No.
Do you believe that you'd be someone different without them?
No. My fear of loss is so strong. It's not that I would be even different. I don't think it would make me inherently different. And then I get shown over and over and over again that my limiting belief is not true.
It's not true.
It's not true.
Right.
And
but you are attached to what you have, and that's why the fear of loss is so strong. So the limiting belief really is that you could lose anything. In an attractive universe, everything sticks to you. So the desire sticks to you too. You can't really get rid of the desire, and you can't really get rid of the limiting belief.
Right.
Once you've attracted them, once you've attracted anything, and we're not saying that pen. You've attracted this pen and paper, right?
Sure.
You can let it go.
I'm talking about being, yeah.
You can let that go.
Right.
But that pen and paper are with you in this moment, and this moment's with you forever. Right? And your ability to attract other pens and other paper last with you because you have no resistance around that. It's nothing of a big deal.
No.
Right?
Right.
Right. So think of everything that way. If you attracted love, you will continue to attract love. Now the love may take different forms. Okay. Do you have children?
I do. I have children.
When they were babies, that was different.
Yes.
That was a different thing.
Yes.
Those are different. Now you have those memories, and you have the love that you have of that. And you allow that love to influence the love that you have for them now.
Yes.
So there's a melding of love. But you didn't lose the babies.
No.
They're still, even though they're completely different forms, and one day they'll be completely different forms. And one day they'll move across country, and one day you'll only see them through 3D virtual reality.
Right.
Right? And that's fine. Right? It's different than it is now. But you're not losing anything. Those, are they here in this room?
No.
So you didn't lose them.
No.
Right?
No.
So you can't lose anything. You can't lose anything. All you can do is perceive loss or not. They're not in this room, they're not next to you, but you perceive that they're still with you.
Right.
right? And when they move on and go to college and move into their own place, you're going to perceive that they're still there, and it's natural, right? So what you're saying is that things are sometimes natural and things flow naturally, and sometimes things are wrong, right? Things shouldn't be that way. But imagine in this game of reality that you get whatever you need when you need it. Well, and you think you need something that you don't need is this thing that's holding you up.
And sometimes I think, well, when you said, and you can appreciate the manifestation of it. So I had some manifestation events that were huge because I have huge desires. And I appreciated them for that. Like, I got that. I understood it. And I was like, no, that has to happen. This has
it
to,
has
happen
to happen
to give me what I want.
You can't get what you want.
Right. And I saw that. And then I was trying to get other people to understand that. And that's a difficult concept to understand. Mm-hmm. But I understood it. But my body hurts, and I still feel like I'm in resistance, even though I can cognitively see it.
But it's better than not cognitively seeing it.
You're right. It's a lot easier. It really is easier.
Imagine the stress and the urges to change conditions that you would have if you didn't know what you were doing.
Right.
At least you know what you're doing.
I know.
So now you know what you're doing, and you think, I know what I'm doing. Why does it feel so bad?
Right.
It feels bad because you're more in tune to these feelings,
okay.
Right?
And you've already said that.
Yeah.
And I've already heard.
And as you get more magnificent, and as you allow yourself to think and dream about bigger desires, you're going to have even more intense negative emotion. And that's how you're designed. When you were a baby and you wanted to eat, you cried your head off. Do you cry your head off before the buffet now?
No.
Right?
No.
Right. So you think it's an intense emotion. But compared to the emotion you felt when you were a baby, purely living in joy, that emotion was much more intense than the ones. So these big manifestation events and this big emotional pain, intense pain, really are minor.
Right.
They just seem big. But that's good. Because a lot of people are just dulling their emotions.
Right.
And you're feeling yours.
No, I feel it.
Yeah.
And I can feel myself, and I've heard Wendy say this, it's like I'm standing on the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I won't jump.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do it.
Yeah. Okay. Imagine bungee jumping. Perfect
yes.
example.
Yes.
You spent $40 on a ticket.
Right.
You climb to the top. You're in line, they strap you up, there's four people working on you, they built this whole apparatus, there's a ton of people who've done it before you, you see they've all, none of them died, there's a whole bunch of people waiting for you to get out, and you know that you're attached, you know that nothing can happen to you, right? But there's still fear, and so you either process that fear, and you do it by saying, look at all those people who lived, look at all the people who are willing to go, no one's ever had a problem before, it's going to work out. I trust the universe. I understand how the law of gravity works. I understand how this bungee cord works. I understand how this works. I understand how the universe works. I understand how faith works. I understand how alignment works. I understand how inspiration works. I got the inspiration. This is a desire I want. If it's a desire that I receive, I'm worthy of that desire. I'm worthy to have that. Right? And yet, you'll feel the fear. And so you either say, all right, take me out of this thing, or you push yourself over. Or you tell them to push you over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping to go with, I did that to my son. I pushed him. He's like, you have to push him. And we were literally doing
something. So, get someone to push you. You have anyone who can push you.
Oh, I think they are. Via manifestation events. Because I have the perfect people surrounding me to ensure that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think a little.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go again, but I feel like I have to ask this question.
So you didn't
want to
go again because you were inspired.
Yes. And then I was like, no, let someone else go. And then I was like, no, I'll go. Oh, okay. So later.
So your perfect hair is getting in the way.
That has been on my mind too. I don't like talking about myself.
Oh, let's talk about you.
So I found that my joy more and more is in silence and in.
In silence, you don't have to talk about yourself.
But it feels really good to me to be quiet and be still and sit and almost like sleep, but not be sleeping. But I'm just curious about what that is or what, why I have that strong desire.
So you have a strong desire to be quiet, or you have an urge to not engage.
It's a little bit of both.
In being quiet, you don't have to talk about yourself.
Or engage.
Or engage. Mm-hmm. Or risk negative emotion. Mm-hmm. See, the only thing you're afraid of is fear. So fear is negative emotion, right? Mm-hmm. So the only thing you fear is the limited perspective. Because if you didn't have a limited perspective, well, then you couldn't feel fear, and you couldn't have your inner self showing you that you're feeling fear, or you know, or choosing the limited perspective, right? So if you just don't do anything, you can't choose the limited perspective. That's fine. There are people who spend their whole lives in silence.
It feels good to be in silence, though.
Sure, because it doesn't, because you're not feeling negative emotion, right? But there's nothing wrong with negative emotion. So the more you get used to feeling negative emotion, the more you accept that you're going to feel negative emotion, because you're going to choose a limited perspective from time to time. And the negative emotion is nothing other than the realization that you're choosing a limited perspective, right? And so in that realization that you're choosing this limited perspective, you can say, I'm focused on reality as it's not true, as not as an illusion. It's not real. So let's just get back into focusing from a higher perspective. Focusing, focusing, focusing. So you want to learn how to focus. Even though you have intense aversion to negative emotion, mm-hmm. because you've experienced so much negative emotion, mm-hmm. and you attach negative emotion to certain things and certain meanings, right? There's nothing you want to negative emotion. You want to feel it. You're sensitive. You want to feel it. You chose to feel it. You chose to be exposed to it, right? Mm-hmm. You chose to learn about it. That's why you're here. You chose to uncover all this stuff. That's your choice. So embrace that choice. Now, there's nothing wrong with sleeping. Do you feel negative emotion when you sleep? Generally not. Right? You feel negative emotion when you're in nature? Generally not. It's easy. So yeah, if you're feeling intense negative emotion, then be quiet. But then come back out and just realize that it's all a matter of focus. And so, if you're being alerted to the fact that you're choosing to perceive reality as it isn't, mm-hmm. right, then you can be quiet, get back, and then choose to see everything is right, and then go out again and come back, and go out again and come back, and go out again and come back.
Okay.
The more you do that, the more confidence you're going to build, and that's truly what we want. You want to have this confidence that you can expose yourself to negative emotion and just realize it's fear. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything about who you are. Have you ever said anything you regretted? Have you ever said it lately?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever said it here?
Yes.
Okay.
Really?
Here, in a place of love, right? So what's happened is that you think you said something that maybe was inappropriate or offensive. Now, in this room of love, mm-hmm. it's highly unlikely. Not only is it highly unlikely, it's not true. Not only is it not true, it's impossible.
It's all my perception of myself.
Okay, and this fear that you feel, that you said something inappropriate or hurtful or whatever it was, is your inner self saying, no, you didn't. You said the perfect thing. Because that thing was the perfect thing to say at the time to the person who heard it. Because they needed to hear it. And if you didn't say it, they wouldn't have heard it. And if they felt negative emotion, well, then they got alerted to a limiting belief. You see that if there is no wrong, we can wrap anything up to make it look good. We can put lipstick on anything. Isn't that great? But you see what we're doing here? There is no wrong. You can't do anything wrong. Get over that whole idea that you could ever do anything wrong. You can't say anything wrong. You can't do anything wrong. If you do something, that is for a purpose. You can't know what the purpose of that is. But if you choose to perceive that it wasn't necessary as part of this exploration of reality, then you're just choosing to see the limited perspective. Imagine that. Imagine you said, yeah, I think I said something wrong here. I hope I didn't make them think I'm bad, or hope I didn't insult them, or hope whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They didn't. If they felt negative emotion, then all that means is they choose to see a limited perspective about themselves. And they're projecting their fear on you. And you were inspired to say it when you said it. Right? That's true of everything that you do. Everything that you do. You can't do it wrong. You can't do it wrong. You can blame yourself all you want. But that's just taking this limited perspective, and your inner self is going to give you negative emotion. So that you know that you're just looking at things from a perspective that's not real. Okay. So from the higher perspective, everything's real. And in that higher perspective, you'll be guided to say things that are beneficial. And you'll be guided to say things that are beneficial. And you'll be guided to say things that are beneficial. And you'll be guided to do things that are beneficial. Right? Yeah. And if they perceive it as wrong, well, that has nothing to do with you. You were guided to do that. You are guided to do that, right? And if they think it's wrong, that's what?
Their fear.
Exactly. Their fear. See, we don't even need to be here. You can be here. It's their fear, right? And it's your fear, and you get to see it. But you don't have to attach it to that. And they're just here for you anyway, right? It only exists for you anyway.
That's the biggest thing I've gotten from this time. This is all me.
This is all for you. This is all for you. This building's for you. This town's for you. These people are for you. We're for you. Everyone in your life is for you.
That's finally clicked in.
Yeah. So think about the emotion. Does the emotion feel good? If it feels good, then that means I'm focused. Right. You know, I'm focused at my inner self. Imagine, you want to use the analogy. For a couple reasons. Imagine a little happy white mouse. And we put the white mouse in a maze. And at the end of the maze, there's a piece of cheese. And we're all hoping that the mouse gets the cheese. And so the mouse goes in, and we can see how to get out, because our perspective is high, right? And so we look at this mouse, and the mouse turns left and hits a wall. What if the mouse said, I'm just a complete loser because I hit this wall? The wall is proof that I can't do it. And the mouse just gives up and dies. The mouse does not attach me to any wall. The mouse that's a manifestation of it for that mouse, that wall. The mouse just says, no, that's okay, turn around. It's just, that is a lesson that this isn't the way out. So I turn around and I go this way and go this way. And finally the mouse finds its way out. And when the mouse comes out of the maze, do we all cry? Oh no, it was in the maze and now it's out of the maze. No, we're happy. And the maze is life. And when you leave life, you get the cheese and no one cries if you let life. Right? You get to bump up against all the walls all you want, right? But the walls don't mean anything. Now, here's another thing. What if there's a upset mouse that is just feeling bad and everything, right? Mm-hmm. Then the mouse is more likely to say that wall is not good, right? Mm-hmm. But the happy mouse is just saying, I'll go around. So be the happy mouse, explore the maze, and then when you get the cheese, you transition and you can see. And the guidance comes from all of us looking down and hoping you turn right. And saying, turn right. And sometimes you can hear us. You know? And if you're a happy mouse, you can hear us say, turn right. And here's way out.
Okay. Thank you.
This could be your last chance. This could be it.
I'll go.
Hi, Joshua.
Hello, Nikki.
So I just want to report back and say that all those limiting beliefs I had when I got here were limiting beliefs. And they weren't true. And I feel way, way better. But I really like this metaphor of the maze and the mouse. And I was thinking about, you know, how you say that, you know, we can never go back when we expand. And so, you know, here I am exploring, and, like, I push through fear, and I get to a place where I see everything's perfect. And then I go back and look at the wall that I just bumped into. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm expanding, why do I have to go back and look at that wall? Like, for example, let's just say I feel sad about the lover who left me. And so then I push through the fear and I'm like, yeah, this is for me because, you know, I move into joy and I trust the unfolding. And then, like, out of the blue, the sadness will come back.
Well, as a human, you can look at the wall and say, life would be better if that wall wasn't here. And you have control over that wall. So you can take a jackhammer to that wall. And you can just leave that the maze that way. And then you're onto a new maze. Right? So as humans, you have control over these walls. As the mouse, you don't. But in reality, do you really have control over the wall?
Yeah.
But you do have control over the wall. Because you can go back in your head and say, the wall's wrong, the wall's wrong, the wall's wrong. If that wall wasn't there, my life would have been better.
Right.
Right. But you don't know what's inside the wall, because what's on the side outside the wall, we forgot to tell you, the maze was on a cliff. Did you go out of the wall? Right? So say thank you to the wall for keeping me in the maze. And there is a way to the cheese. Okay? And it's just not through that wall.
Yeah. But then I'll have these visions that and understandings that, yeah, I need to go the other way, but then why do I go back?
Because you believe, the limiting belief says, that is the way out, and you're attached to that way out.
Yeah, I wish it were like cumulative, like, okay, I have this understanding, so let me stay in the understanding and not go back to the momentum.
Oh, so you want to stay looking at the wall?
No, I want to go forward and forget about the wall.
Well, then you have to turn around. You can't look at the wall. You have to go the other way. If you're staring at the wall, it's very hard.
So I think what the answer is that the limiting belief hasn't completely been lifted. Like,
it's never going to be lifted.
I have degrees of understanding.
You're gonna look back a year from now and say, oh, thank God there was that wall. But what if? It'll always be there. All you're doing is dialing it down.
So, yeah, so you can never completely get rid of the fear.
This is a universe that's based on the law of attraction. If you attracted it, it's stuck to you. Okay?
Right.
You can raise up the intensity or lower the intensity based on your preferences. There are some people who just want to dial up the intensity. Mm-hmm. Just want to live in intensity. Because the intensity feels like something. It feels like they're alive. Mm-hmm. And that means something. Right? And that's fine. But if you want to move towards where you want to go, knowing what you know, well, it seems silly to beat your head over to stare at the wall. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It seems silly to trust that was the way out. When this maze is here, ready, and from the higher perspective, you know there's a way out, right?
Yeah.
You know there's a way out. From the liver perspective, it looks like that's the only way to go.
Yeah.
That's why, looking down at the maze, your inner self is looking down at the maze. The inner self is giving you, go right, go right, go right. And when you go left, it's going to feel bad.
Right.
And when you go right, it's going to feel scary, because you don't know what's over the right. Yeah?
Yeah.
Go left feels bad, go right feels scary.
Sometimes it's good to just stay in the middle.
Just lay there.
Yeah, I'm not feeling any intense fear.
Right. Just be quiet. Sit there in the maze and be quiet. Right. Be quiet.
There's this lingering.
I don't have to bump into it. Oh, my, bump into that wall.
Yeah. It's like walking forward, it's taking risks.
You take a nap, go, oh, there's that wall. I get up and I feel a sense to go to the right. Go to the right. Go to the right. I went to the left. The left was okay. The wall. Okay, but that's where the wall is. We were traveling down this path for a while, and we hit a wall. Okay, it seemed like the way out. It really did. It really seemed like the way out. Everything was going great for a while. It just seemed like the way out. And then it hit a wall. Oh, that wasn't the way out. Let's go back. Let's go back.
Yeah.
Let's try this one. No, because if you try this one, it's going to be another wall. Why try? Let's just sit here. No. Okay. So you went down this road, you found the limiting belief, and then you reduced the intensity of that limiting belief, which allowed you to turn around, come back, and then you're going to find another way. Okay? And then you can get super good at mazes.
Yeah.
Get really good at traveling down these roads. And then not say that I went down this road and I hit a dead end, so that means I suck as a maze runner.
Yeah.
All right? It doesn't mean it. It means you're excellent as a maze runner. Right? And you're willing to go down this path and bump your head at the end and come back and try another path. Because you have faith that if you feel good, you will hear the inspiration to go on the path that is for you in this moment. And in order to figure out how to get to the end of the maze, which means death, basically, so. Right? Once you figure this out, that's when you transition.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So do you want to figure this out tomorrow?
No, I just want to be a happy
mouse. Well, sure, tomorrow, how about tomorrow, right? We want you to know tomorrow. You want to keep going. And when you figure it out, we're all going to be going, yay! And the rest of you all will be going, oh. She got her cheese. So sad.
I'll bring champagne.
Yay!
Yes.
Well, thank you.
So we could not be more complete. And so we thank you all for being here. It's been thrilling for us and thrilling for you at some level. We can't wait to do it again. So with our love, we're out.
Joshua has left the building.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.